Welcome to the A-Level Biology Study Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving deep into one of the most rewarding and most frequently examined topics in EdExcel, A-Level Biology, Inheritance, Topic 7.1. Whether you're revising for your mocks or your final exams, this episode is going to give you everything you need to walk into that exam hall feeling confident. So let's get started. Inheritance is all about how genetic information is passed from parents to offspring. But at A-level, we go way beyond simple Mendelian genetics. EdExcel expects you to handle complex patterns, sex linkage, autosomal linkage, epistasis, and statistical analysis using the chi-squared test. The good news? Once you understand the underlying logic, these topics are incredibly learnable, and they're worth a significant chunk of marks. Let's start with the foundations, because getting the basics absolutely right is what separates a grade C from a grade A. A gene is a section of DNA that codes for a polypeptide. An allele is a specific version of a gene. This distinction matters enormously in the exam. Examiners will penalize you for writing gene for red eyes when you should write allele for red eyes. It sounds pedantic, but it's a mark. Get it right every time. Genotype refers to the alleles an organism carries. Phenotype is the observable characteristic that results. An organism is homozygous if both alleles at a locus are the same, for example, RR. It's heterozygous if the alleles differ, like RR. A dominant allele is expressed in both homozygous and heterozygous conditions. A recessive allele is only expressed when homozygous. Now, let's talk about genetic diagrams, because you will draw one in your exam and the marks are very structured. EdExcel awards marks for 5 specific labeled sections. You must write parents, then the parental genotypes, then gametes. And here's where candidates lose marks. The gametes must show single alleles only, not combinations. So if a parent is AB, the gametes are AB, 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 and AB. Each gamete contains one allele from each gene. Then you need the offspring genotypes from your Punnett square. And finally, the offspring phenotypes with the ratio. Miss any of these labels and you will drop marks. It's that simple. Let's move on to dihybrid inheritance. This involves 2 genes on different chromosomes. When you cross 2 dihybrid parents, OBB crossed with OBEB, you get the classic 9-3-3-3-3-1 phenotype ratio. 9 show both dominant phenotypes, 3 show the first dominant only, 3 show the second dominant only, and 1 shows both recessive phenotypes. This ratio only applies when the 2 genes are on different chromosomes and assort independently. Remember Mendel's law of independent assortment. Now here's where it gets more interesting and more A-level. Autosomal linkage. This occurs when 2 genes are located on the same non-sex chromosome. Because they're physically linked, they tend to be inherited together. This means you do not get the 9-3-3-1 ratio. Instead, you get a higher proportion of parental phenotypes, the combinations that were already together in the parents, and a lower proportion of recombinant phenotypes. The recombinant phenotypes arise from crossing over during meiosis, when homologous chromosomes exchange segments. The closer together 2 genes are on a chromosome, the less likely crossing over is between them, and the lower the recombination frequency. A common exam question will give you data showing offspring ratios and ask you to explain why the ratio differs from 9-3-3-1. Your answer must include, the genes are on the same chromosome, they are linked, parental combinations are more frequent, and recombinants arise from crossing over in meiosis. Now let's talk about sex linkage. Sex-linked genes are located on the sex chromosomes, most commonly the X chromosome. In humans, females are XX and males are XY. The Y chromosome is much smaller and carries very few genes. This means males only have 1 copy of X-linked genes. They are hemizygous. So if a male inherits a recessive allele on his X chromosome, he will express it because there's no second allele to mask it. When drawing sex-linked genetic diagrams, you must show the alleles attached to the X chromosome using superscript notation. For example, X capital R for the dominant allele and X lowercase r for the recessive allele. The Y chromosome should be shown without the relevant allele, just Y. Examiners specifically look for this. If you write X and Y without the allele notation, you will not receive the mark. Classic examples of X-linked recessive conditions include color blindness and hemophilia. A key feature, affected males are more common than affected females, because females need 2 copies of the recessive allele to be affected, whereas males only need 1. Now let's tackle epistasis, one of the most conceptually challenging parts of this topic, but also one of the most rewarding to master. Epistasis is the interaction of genes at different loci, where one gene masks the expression of another gene. Think of it as a metabolic pathway. Gene A produces an enzyme that converts a colorless precursor into an intermediate pigment. Gene B produces an enzyme that converts that intermediate pigment into the final colored product. If gene A is non-functional, meaning the organism is homozygous recessive at A, then no intermediate pigment is produced, so gene B has nothing to work with. Gene A has masked the expression of gene B. This is recessive epistasis. In recessive epistasis, the epistatic gene must be homozygous recessive to mask the other. The ratio you get from a dihybrid cross is 93:4 instead of 93:3:1. The 4 comes from the two groups that would normally be separate, ONJB and AAB, both showing the same masked phenotype. In dominant epistasis, just one dominant allele at the epistatic locus is enough to mask the other gene. This gives a 12:3:1 ratio. When answering epistasis questions, EdExcel specifically awards marks for defining epistasis correctly. The definition is the interaction of genes at different loci where one gene masks the expression of another. Learn that definition word for word. Now let's move to the chi-squared test, the statistical analysis component of this topic, and it's worth significant marks in AO3 questions. The chi-squared test is used to determine whether the difference between observed results and expected results is due to chance or whether it is statistically significant. You use it when you have categorical data and you want to test a null hypothesis. The null hypothesis for genetics questions is always, there is no significant difference between the observed and expected ratios. Learn that sentence. Write it exactly. Examiners credit it specifically. The formula is chi-squared equals the sum of, for each category, observed minus expected squared divided by expected. So you take each phenotype class, subtract the expected number from the observed number, square the result, divide by the expected number, and add all those values together. Once you have your chi-squared value, you need to compare it to a critical value from a table. You need two pieces of information: the degrees of freedom, which is the number of categories, minus one, and the probability level, which is always p equals 0.05 at A level. If your calculated chi-squared value is greater than the critical value, you reject the null hypothesis. This means the difference between observed and expected is statistically significant. It is unlikely to be due to chance alone. If your calculated value is less than the critical value, you accept the null hypothesis. The difference is not significant and could be due to chance. A critical mistake candidates make is saying the results are due to chance without mentioning the probability level. You must state, at p equals 0.05, the calculated value is less than the critical value. Therefore, we accept the null hypothesis and conclude the difference is not significant. Right, let's move into exam tips and common mistakes. This is where marks are won and lost. Mistake number one, confusing gene and allele. I've already mentioned this, but it bears repeating. In any written explanation, use allele when referring to a specific version of a gene. The allele for red eyes, not the gene for red eyes. Mistake number two, writing genotypes in gametes. In a genetic diagram, gametes must contain single alleles. If you write AA in a gamete box, you will lose the mark. Gametes are haploid, one allele per locus. Mistake number three, assuming linkage gives a 9:3:3:1 ratio. If two genes are linked, they do not assort independently. The ratio will be skewed towards parental phenotypes. If you see a ratio that doesn't fit 9:3:3:1 in a dihybrid cross, think linkage or epistasis. Mistake number four, incomplete chi-squared conclusions. Always state the degrees of freedom, the p-value, whether your calculated value is greater or less than the critical value, and your conclusion about the null hypothesis. Four components. All four need to be there for full marks. Mistake number five, forgetting to label all five sections of a genetic diagram. Parents, genotypes, gametes, offspring genotypes, offspring phenotypes, every time, no exceptions. Now for command words. State means give a brief factual answer, one or two words or a short phrase. Describe means say what you observe. Use correct terminology. Explain means give the mechanism. Use the word because to link cause and effect. Calculate means show all working, use the correct formula, and include units where appropriate. Evaluate means consider evidence from both sides and make a reasoned judgment. For a 6-mark extended answer on inheritance, structure your response as state the pattern, explain the mechanism, give the genotypic evidence, state the ratio, and link to the biology. That's 5 clear points plus a linking statement for the 6th mark. Now let's do a quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause the podcast, think of your answer, then I'll give it. Question 1. What is the definition of epistasis? Pause now. Answer. The interaction of genes at different loci where one gene masks the expression of another. Question 2. What is the null hypothesis for a chi-squared genetics test? Pause now. Answer. There is no significant difference between the observed and expected ratios. Question 3. In a dihybrid cross showing recessive epistasis, what phenotype ratio do you expect? Pause now. Answer. 9-3-4. Question 4. Why are males more commonly affected by X-linked recessive conditions than females? Pause now. Answer. Males are hemizygous. They only have one X chromosome, so a single recessive allele is expressed with no dominant allele to mask it. Question 5. In a genetic diagram, what must gametes show? Pause now. Answer. Single alleles only. One allele per gene locus. How did you do? If you got all 5, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back to that section and reread it. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key points to take away from this episode. 1. Always distinguish between gene and allele in written answers. Examiners penalize imprecise terminology. 2. Genetic diagrams must include all 5 labeled sections: parents, genotypes, gametes, offspring genotypes, and offspring phenotypes. 3. Autosomal linkage produces a higher proportion of parental phenotypes because linked genes do not assort independently. 4. Sex-linked genes are shown with alleles on the X chromosome using superscript notation. The Y chromosome carries no allele for that gene. 5. Epistasis is gene interaction where one gene masks another. Recessive epistasis gives a 9-3-4 ratio. Dominant epistasis gives 12-3-1. 6. The chi-squared test compares observed to expected results. State the null hypothesis, calculate chi-squared, compare to the critical value at p equals 0.05 with the correct degrees of freedom, and state your conclusion clearly. 7. AO3 marks are available for evaluating data. Always link your statistical conclusion back to the biology. That's it for today's episode on inheritance. This is one of those topics where practice really does make perfect draw genetic diagrams until they're automatic and work through as many chi-squared calculations as you can find. The more you do, the faster and more accurate you'll become in the exam. Good luck with your revision. You've got this.